1045 The Zone, 820 The Time. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone. Powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Have a little fun with instant games. Play the new April instant games. Top prizes ranging from $1,000 up to $2 million. Go by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Pick up the new April instant games today. I think Andrew's going to be our winner on put a sock in it for the Preds players who asked to run it back after last season. Ends with a first-round loss in the playoffs. So, Andrew, if you want to get in touch with us, give you that $200 gift card from Genesis Diamonds. Thanks to Genesis for sponsoring Put a Sock in It.
Let's bring in Brent, because I've got something off the top, and then I'll throw it to you.
Okay.
Brent, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I've learned something being an avid follower of your chat, your online chats, and that is Brent Hubbs does not do hockey.
No, that is not completely true.
Oh, okay.
I have great appreciation for playoff hockey, but I have not followed this year. I've not gotten into playoff hockey this year. So when I was asked in the chat about the Predators power play issues, I've not seen a power play shift in playoff hockey for the Nashville Predators. So,
oh, okay. All right.
And a Tennessee football recruiting chat, I didn't really know what the guy was trying to say. So, it was not any kind of hate against the Predators at all. It's just, I've not watched any playoff hockey. Apparently there was a really good game, game 7 last night that I missed out on, but I do enjoy playoff hockey when I have time. I've just not had time to get into it.
Okay.
Well, right. You didn't miss anything on the Predators' power play, Brent.
Yeah, exactly. That.
That's what I understand, is that it was non-existent, apparently.
Brent Hubbs is our guest from BallQuest.com. You want info on Tennessee, it is the place to go. Brent, there are conflicting stories on who called who about the UCLA job. How do you sort out the whole thing with Rick Barnes? And at this point, does it really matter?
I think at this point it probably blows over. But clearly Rick Barnes was bothered by the Seth Davis story yesterday and what UCLA had indicated to Seth Davis about Rick Barnes reaching out to them and not vice versa, to the point that Rick went on the offensive about it. He made it clear to anybody who contacted him that that was just a flat-out lie. And then I know that Rick Barnes picked up the phone and had a conversation with Seth Davis about it and talk to him about it from his perspective of things. So, you know, you got some he said, she said in there that UCLA may be trying to save a little face because Rick Barnes did publicly say, hey, I wanted the job, would have been there, but they wouldn't pay for it. And you know, UCLA sitting there with a coach that nobody, you know, really in Los Angeles had any desire or even talked about. So I think it's a little bit of UCLA trying to save some face and, went after a guy who's not going to be afraid to tell, you know, his side of things and certainly the truth from his viewpoint. So I'm not surprised that he countered the way he did. And at some point in time, maybe they'll get back to, you know, UCLA will get back to handling things on their coast and Tennessee and Rick Barnes will be about, you know, recruiting and moving forward and getting this, you know, this team ready for next year. And we'll get all that past us at some point. But I don't know when it's going to go away or if it'll completely go away, but hopefully it'll slow down at some point.
Spring football is over. How did the spring sessions benefit the guys who enrolled early at Tennessee?
Well, I think it's huge for a guy like Wanya Morris for 15 practices to get the volume of reps he got, particularly at left tackle, to try to get somewhat comfortable there. You can't overstate how important that was for him to understand the physicality. Now he goes in to the summer off season, he knows what he needs to work on. He knows where he's got to get his body better and what the focus has got to be. Then you got a guy like Claverius Crouch who did not play his senior year of high school because of injury, playing on the defensive side of the ball. He's not played a ton of defense. For him to get 15 practices of just fundamental work, I think was huge. And I think that's why you saw Crouch have his best work the last week, because he's starting to get comfortable on defense, get comfortable with style of play in this system. So for those midterm guys, and again, and that's always a tough balance because, you know, should a guy be missing his senior prom? Should a guy be missing the spring semester of his senior year? Well, quite frankly, if you've done your work, you don't have to do a whole lot that semester. You get to relax, enjoy time with friends versus getting out early and getting a jump start on things. From a football standpoint, it's a huge benefit for those who come out early to get those 15 practices in.
From VolQuest.com, our guest is Brent Hubbs.
Well, Brent, I'm always going to be fascinated with the TP. Has anybody entered the transfer portal that we know of that's new?
Not anybody from the football standpoint at Tennessee that I'm aware of, and nobody in basketball either. I don't know anybody. I'm not aware of anybody at Tennessee that's entered it at this point. Not to say there won't be somebody go into that portal in the coming days, weeks, as the semester ends, but nobody has jumped into it at this point. I'm a little surprised, to be honest with you, Blaine. I thought coming out of spring or even in the middle of spring, it wouldn't have shocked me if somebody had gotten and put their name into the portal. But at this point, I don't know of any new names out there for Tennessee. And, there's not been a ton of attrition with Jeremy Pruitt's arrival over a year ago. This is a program that a lot of these guys have stayed. And we've seen some guys benefit from staying. A guy like Shannon Reed, who had a good spring, he was an afterthought. I don't think anybody thought he was going to be a factor and be able to help this program. Nathan Niehaus on the offensive line is another guy that nobody saw being any kind of a factor. Bumpus seemed like an afterthought last fall at tight end. Going to be in the rotation at defensive end. Matthew Butler is another one. So some of those guys who have stuck it out have really benefited from this spring and have really, I will say, turned the corner to the point that everybody's like, oh, okay, those guys are major factors and this, that, and the other. But they certainly put themselves in a position that they're not the afterthought they were last fall.
How do you think some of these rule changes, I know it would affect Tennessee, but it's just going to affect college football, I guess, with the targeting, the blindside blocks, kickoffs, as well as overtime?
Well, are they going to call the blindside block? I mean, we saw that in the opener. Tennessee got blindsided on a turnover play. Kid gets blindsided right in front of the official. They don't throw the flag. They're supposed to call that rule last year, and they missed that one in the opening game of the first half of college football last year. Targeting, my thing with targeting is it's just hard to call. And my frustration with targeting is Daniel Petulli gets thrown out of a game where he goes into a pile and his head's lower than it's supposed to be, and the runner lowers his head, and they end up with head-to-head contact. Nobody on the field threw it. Buzzed down by replay. Replay makes a call to remove him from the game. And then you go a couple of weeks later, and Ty Chandler gets a concussion, in the game. I don't think the Auburn player actually got a concussion where Petulli was removed from the game. But then a couple of weeks later, you're playing South Carolina, and Ty Chandler's running in the open field down the sideline, takes a helmet into the ear hole in front of everybody. They show the replay on TV. Replay never buzzes it down to have the officials look at it, and it gets completely missed. So I think that's where coaches' frustrations are. What is targeting? How are you going to call targeting? I understand the rule that they put in place. Probably going to cause some longer delays, and we'll see if they get it right. I still think that we're going to move at some point into a world where there's some kind of level of targeting, level grade of penalty, as opposed to being just a blanket targeting penalty. So we'll see. Overtime, I totally get when you talk about what happened in the A&M game, with LSU last year, the length of that game. You got player safety that you've got to take care of that, and that's got to be a priority. So that one makes a ton of sense.
Our guest is Brent Hubbs. VolQuest.com is where you can find his outstanding work. Anything you want to know about Tennessee, that is the place to go. More with Brent coming up here on the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mark's going to tell us first about the Lee Company.
That's right. Calling all talented commercial service technicians in the trades of plumbing, electrical, or heating, and air conditioning. You can join one of Tennessee's best companies to work for today. I'm talking Lee Company. Lee Company is not only recognized for its expertise in home services, but also for its outstanding service to some of the largest facilities and construction projects in Middle Tennessee. Lee Company employees receive great benefits, including manufacturer-specific training and continuing education through Lee Company University. Visit leecompany.com/careers or call them today, 615-567-1000. There is no better time than today to join an award-winning team. That's leecompany.com/careers or call 615-567-1000. Lee Company, all you need.
8:35 on 104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. The NFL Draft, live from the Music City this week here on The Zone. Our coverage is presented locally by Ferguson Bath Kitchen, Lining Gallery, by Sprint, and by Ford. Pick-by-pick coverage of the draft starts tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. We always enjoy visiting with our friend Brent Hubbs, ballquest.com. You want Tennessee info, that is the place to go.
Brent, yeah, you got to the part of the rule changes as far as the blocks, but what about two-point conversions eventually or possibly deciding games in overtime?
Well, at some point, enough's enough with those things. You know, if you're going to go 7, 8, 9 overtimes, you know, you got player safety involved there. Guys don't need to be playing, you know, 150, 200 snaps in a football game. Here's what I would be curious to see about with the college football overtime rule. If you're going to keep it the same in terms of everybody gets a turn and you don't have to drive it the length of the field or whatever, what if you moved it back to the 40 and made a field goal attempt not a guarantee? Because, I mean, if you started at the 25 in today's world, you got to lose 10 yards to really be in field goal range. So what if you moved it back to the 40 when you've actually got to go make a first down to have a realistic chance to kick a field goal? Would that change the length of overtimes where it's just awful easy from 25 yards because you're playing 7-on-7 football at that point? And kids are used to doing that. That's what they play all summer long. So would that change things? Also, would it mean coaches are a little less hesitant to play for overtime? Maybe they go for two at the end of regulation more often. I'd be curious to see what that worked like if you ever wanted to experiment with changing it to try to limit it from having, you know, 6 or 7 overtime periods down to just 1 or 2. Move it back to the 40-yard line and play from there.
No, I agree with you. I thought they went the wrong way on it. Yeah, I think they should do something like that. And on top of everything else, it really distorts the records, you know, in terms of touchdown passes and stuff like that. And, you know, we could have a whole segment on that.
Well, no game should finish 78-77.
Exactly.
that was 21-21 when you went to overtime.
right. Exactly.
What about, and I don't know if players are going to be educated on this, but eventually sports gambling is going to be legalized in the state of Tennessee. I mean, it's legalized nationally. Eventually, they're going to put forward a bill. How are the coaches going to handle this on one end, and on the other end, the university possibly getting a piece of the action in terms of revenues?
I don't have any idea how that Pandora box is going to work when you open that thing up. I don't know how you educate. I don't know what you educate. I don't know how you figure out to try to get a, you know, it's coming, as you said. So how you prepare for it, what your plan is, I don't know. That's going to require some forward thinking by administrators and athletic directors out there. But we'll see. I don't know what the answer to that in terms of managing that and trying to figure out how to deal with all that stuff.
As far as the Vols are concerned, a player that's going to be fascinating to many of us is Juwan Jennings, you know, who seems, you know, like he could be on the verge of a really special year if things break right. What did you see during the spring that you think has a chance to translate over to this fall?
Well, I think the first thing that you have to give some credit to with Juwan Jennings is Philip Fulmer giving him an opportunity to return, Jeremy Pruitt giving him the opportunity to come back after that ugly, you know, mess that was when Butch Jones was leaving and all of that stuff, and he got dismissed by an interim coach and everything else. And then once he returned, I think a guy that probably will never get enough credit for helping Juwan mature and go about things the right way every day is David Johnson, who's moved from receivers to running back. David Johnson and Juwan Jennings have a really good relationship. And David Johnson was very good for Juwan. And I think Juwan took this last opportunity and understood that it was his last opportunity and is making the most of it. The thing I saw about him in spring, he's just healthy. He got a better bounce in his step. He's got more explosion. A year ago, he was struggling with the knee, fighting to try to get back close to 75-80%. I don't think he was near 100% at any point last season. Certainly wasn't in the spring. And I think this spring, A, it's his last go. That always gets the guys' juices going in a little different, at a little different level, if you will. But I think the biggest thing is he's got a lot more confidence in himself physically right now because the body's doing what he's asking it to do, whereas a year ago it couldn't.
And finally, what about inside linebacker? Sort of an interesting comment by Coach Sherrill in that it's probably more conducive to experienced players when they were talking about Crouch or Peterson playing there because, you know, Sherrill was saying, you know, you're like the quarterback. You have to set the defense. You have to communicate. So do you think there are going to be, upperclassmen in that position, or do you think they will go with the young guys?
Well, I think, Batuli's going to be in there as the guy who can direct traffic. And then talking to Daniel, he said this year, this spring was so much easier for him, where last year it was so Greek. And I get a kick out of college coaches, particularly Jeremy Pruitt. He's been asked multiple times, how complicated is your defense? Oh, it's simple. It's not very complicated at all. Yet you talk to everybody else who knows kind of the Saban, Kirby Smart, Jeremy Pruitt defensive system, and they all say it takes a full year to grasp it. And really that's why you see teams defensively jump in year two in that system a great deal. And so that's why there's expectations for this defense to be better this year because it's going to eliminate a lot of the mental mistakes. So I think Batuli can help them in there. Then we'll see, how much can Crouch learn? Where is J.J. Peterson physically? Where is he at with things? Everybody keeps waiting for him to make a big splash. He hasn't really made that yet. I think Will Ignat is a guy who showed some flashes this spring. He's been in this system. He understands college football, and I think he could play there. Shannon Reed's a guy who made some noise there. So I think it's going to be Batuli for one. And then I think the question on the other, with the other inside guys, who's it going to be? Because I don't think Darren Kirkland Jr. is coming back, and he would be the most experienced guy. So is it a guy like Crouch, who's probably physically better than Reed or Ignat? Can he learn it fast enough and flatten out the learning curve, if you will? Or do you open the season with a more experienced guy like a Will Ignat in there? I think that's going to be a good competition. Good battle to watch in August. And I think safety is going to be a good battle to watch as well. The middle of the field is very important for this defense, particularly on the back end. How those two spots go is going to be really intriguing to follow in this competition in August.
Brent, great stuff as always. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
All right. Have a good one. That's Brent Hubbs, ballquest.com. So you can find his work reporting on the University of Tennessee. Lots of great stuff with spring football over and looking ahead to the summer.